KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
In Hollywood history, there's been a number of famous filmmaking siblings, the Warner Brothers, Coen Brothers, the Wachowskis, and the Safdies, to name a few. But there's another highly regarded, though lesser known team, the twin brothers, George and Mike Kuchar. Between them, the Kuchars have made hundreds of films, starting with 8mm in the early 1960s. Their work, always subversive, spontaneous, and fiercely DIY, has influenced generations of independent and experimental filmmakers such as John Waters, Todd Solondz, Adam Egoyan, and David Lynch. If you're a Kuchar Brothers fan, or if you've never seen their work, next week is your chance to view a sampling of their films on the big screen. The Kuchar Brothers Festival kicks off at Portland's Clinton Street Theater on Monday, December 4th, with the documentary It Came From Kuchar, and closes on Saturday the 9th with a double feature, Death Quest of the Juju Cults and Corruption of the Damned. To preview the festival, we're fortunate to have Clinton Street programmer and co-owner Susan Tomorrow here with us in the studio. Susan, thanks so much for coming down on this very cold evening.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me, Ken.
Well, let's get a little background first on George and Mike Kuchar. They started making movies in the 50s using their allowance money to buy 8mm film, which I think Mike said was about $1.65 at the time. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's in the documentary. So they had that passion from a young age, like a lot of contemporary filmmakers.
Yeah, absolutely. And they had, the way they grew up was in a house with like a very macho dad and a very Ukrainian strict mother, and then just kind of escaped by going to go see, you know, 5 cent pictures and all the Douglas Sirk movies and old Hollywood melodramas, and then saw no reason why they couldn't do that same thing just with their friends in their apartment.
And they never studied film, at least formally, though they attended apparently a commercial art school.
Mm-hmm.
The films and filmmakers that influenced them, including Douglas Sirk, it was also some of the movies of that time, in the 50s, so maybe some of those UFO and monster movies?
Oh, absolutely. There's a ton of sci-fi that creeps into. The brothers also both worked in underground comics as well as film later in the 70s. So anything pulpy, anything campy got kind of thrown in there with their childhood influences from the view of two kind of just generally weird queer brothers that never had any desire to like profit off of the films.
No, that's that fiercely DIY way of looking at making films. Now, after finishing school, the commercial art school, and getting the reputation as, quote, the Mozarts of 8mm cinema, George and Mike saved up to buy their first 16mm camera, and that was 1965. And they made their first 16mm films then, Sins of the Fleshopoids and Corruption of the Damned. You've programmed both films for the festival.
I have, yeah. That actually, Corruption of the Damned was started and kind of abandoned by George, who later went on to finish it, or the other brother finished it. So they're tied in, one after the other. One's more experimental, and one is kind, I would say, absolutely the inspiration for the film Barbarella. And I do think Vadim took a lot of credence from Sins of the Fleshopoids.
Yes,
make that
I saw
film.
That in the documentary. One of the scenes was making love or having sex by just touching hands.
Yeah, when you're a robot, you got to figure it out.
Or Jane Fonda.
Absolutely, anything with Jane Fonda. So, yeah, those are really good examples of both of the brothers' work in the earlier days with the 16.
So those must hold up pretty well then. Those were their first attempts at the 16mm films.
They do. I actually don't think that any of their movies age because they're not of any specific time.
Yes, they're unique.
Yeah, they're absolutely unique. So you can't really point out what decade, what realm, what universe it's all coming from, except for that it's very distinctly Kuchar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, we mentioned in the intro that the Kuchars influenced several generations of filmmakers. And in fact, some of them appear in the documentary. It Came From Kuchar, John mm-hmm. Waters, Adam Egoyan, Guy Madden, even Buck Henry, who's not a filmmaker, but well, I guess he is. Screenwriter and an actor. And when watching a sampling of their films, I couldn't help but think they were an influence on David Lynch's first feature, Eraserhead.
Oh, 100%. He's admitted that, I think, in
some
interviews.
Oh, he has? Okay, because he wasn't in the documentary. Now, how did George and Mike inspire those filmmakers, not just the movies themselves that they made, but how they went about making them?
I think absolutely it gave a lot of people the idea that they could make movies with just their friends' moms as cast and crew, little
yes,
or no budget.
Their mom was in a lot of the movies.
Oh, yeah. Their mom was probably their biggest star in life and in film. Not really knowing what's going on, but going with it and being supportive. So, yeah, the idea that you really need an idea that you're inspired by and that you believe in, and ultimately you can make a movie out of that. And that, I think, led to all of those other filmmakers starting somewhere, starting with the lower budget and then working up. But with George and Mike, I think their movies are so special, they never wanted to work up. It's just like what they put out was that idea, and it was perfect.
I wanted to ask about that. In the documentary, John Waters describes their work as they made good films, very good films, mm-hmm. just on a very low budget. And I think that was but by design. They never got the urge to make a bigger budget, perhaps more mainstream movie. It's a good thing the Marvel Universe wasn't around then, huh? They would have been tempted.
Oh, absolutely. And even in like the underground film scene, they were unique because a lot of the like Andy Warhol, Paul Morrissey stuff was very experimental in the like, ooh, look at this weird art film. But the Cotrard brothers, it was a full-on narrative. There was romance, love, birth, death. There was a story to it versus kind of just a visual experiment.
I want to get back to something you said earlier, that they, in addition to making movies, they also worked in the underground comic scene. And they lived in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So this was the height of underground comics, late 60s and 70s. And in fact, Bill Griffith, the creator of Zippy the Pinhead, is in the movie. And he says that George was actually a model for Zippy, not the way he looked, but the way he thought. And he said both Couchars, so George and Mike, were borderline crazy, but in a good way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think they would disagree with that statement either. And both of the brothers kind of were self-supported through teaching at the San Francisco Art Institute for years, which Mike still teaches at to this day.
And in fact, the filmmaker who made the documentary was one of their students, right?
Yeah, Jennifer Crute. She's great, too. They teach filmmaking in the same exact way that they make movies. In fact, they use most of their students to be involved in the making of new films just to show them. And the student will be like, well, I have this problem. I can't get the right actor for this. And he's like, what? Get Sheila over there. Tell her to act like a Cro-Mag. You know, it's just, it's beautiful.
Nothing holds them back.
No, not at all.
Now, how did you first learn about the Couchard brothers? And what did you think after viewing the first Couchard movie you saw?
I'll try and Cliff's Notes it, but I lived in Vegas when I was 18 for almost a year, kind of on accident. But the only thing for me to do there was hang out at the store called Movie Brat. And it was just in a strip mall, but the owner of the store gave me a bootleg copy of Sins of the Fleshapoids because I would hang out there and talk to him about movies all day. Uh-huh. And after I watched that, this was early internet times, probably 2005, 2006, where you couldn't find anything online. So I just kind of had to wait. And anytime I would hear a snippet about them or get like a thread, I would pull on it until I could find something.
Now, I'd like to mention the role of the late Dennis Nyback in championing the Couchards. And he was also an owner of the Clinton Street Theater at one time and a well-known Portland-based film archivist. He programmed his first Couchard screening in Seattle in 1992. Did you know about that? Was that an influence on this festival?
It was. I had the opportunity to meet Dennis here before he passed and before we took over as owners of the Clinton. And I've always been a huge, huge admirer of him just as a programmer, a curator, a presenter. And I think that he has a lot of the same qualities that the Couchard brothers have as well. As far as
in
that
a good way.
Unyielding passion. Right. Yes. And a little crazy. But seeing that they'd come to the Clinton, both of them in 2008, I just found it really, really inspiring with a lot of the things about getting ownership of the Clinton and taking over there. It's just another sign that that is the place for this kind of thing.
Oh, it's the perfect venue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Dennis called the Couchards' 1966 film Hold Me While I'm Naked one of the best films ever made. And he mentioned also that the Village Voice actually named it one of the 100 best films of the 20th century. And that's some pretty tough competition there. Now, Hold Me While I'm Naked, and I can't say that enough. Screens on Tuesday, December 5th. Do you agree with Dennis and the Village Voice? Is that kind of their masterpiece?
Oh, I think that each of the films are so different, but Hold Me While I'm Naked is a really probably one of the best films I've ever seen about the frustrations of the creative process, because it's about a filmmaker trying to get a project done.
Based on, from the documentary, based on some real life events. I think one of the actors pulled out. Mm-hmm. And that George went into some kind of deep depression there.
Yeah, and that's they always dealt with any kind of turmoil in their life by putting it in films later, making video diaries in the early 90s, which, you know, everyone does now. But
yes, yeah. In a way, they kind of invented the video podcast.
I think so.
Now, in that documentary, it came from Kuchar, and I highly recommend it. That plays the first night of the festival, mm-hmm. on Monday the 4th. Buck Henry, the comedian and screenwriter, tries to explain why the Kuchar films are so endearing to audiences. And he said the work was funny and serious in equal absurd amounts, which seems like a difficult mix, but a good description.
That is a really good description. They are absolutely... 100% heartfelt and completely bizarre and wacky at the same time. It's unlike any other director's or two directors' work I've ever really encountered, as far as how it kind of changes you when you see it.
Your people are going to have to experience for themselves.
Oh, yeah. But... just pick a title, sink your teeth in.
Now, I mentioned in the intro that between them, the Kuchars made hundreds of films, mm-hmm. starting with the 8mm, going to 16mm, then, the video diaries. George, I think, also chased storms across the country and made diaries of tornadoes and things like that. How did you choose which one's the program for the festival? Kind of a handful out of several hundred.
It was a really big process of elimination, because starting out, it was like, all right, I can do a Kuchar festival. That's amazing. My dream list of titles was over 50, I think, and it was a whittling process from there, kind of what's available. And then I decided if we can, we could do it on 16mm, which is, the best way to see it. And
is that difficult? I know you have a special projectionist for the festival, Greg Hamilton.
Yeah.
Is that kind of a lost art or a dying art, projecting 16mm film?
I would say it's not lost or dying necessarily, but incredibly rare. And it's difficult to find somebody that is capable of handling especially finer film prints or slightly degraded ones. And Greg is just one of the people in town that is, that's his passion, is archiving, and he's been working on the Nybeck collection.
Oh, yes, helping with the inventorying of
exactly,
that and
yes.
archiving it.
And he's just, it's such a treasure to have somebody like Greg that specific weird passion is there, so they can help facilitate, because they love the Kuchar brothers as well.
Now, I should mention, because when I looked at the festival, I noticed the schedule for the entire month of December, and you've got another famous brother filmmaking team taking up the second half of the schedule, including the annual tradition of the Big Lebowski there. Mm-hmm. So you've got several really good Coen brother films following the Kuchar films.
Yeah. So I was making the schedule. I kind of realized the whole month is a tale of four brothers. So we have the Kuchars and the Coen brothers. And I'm really pleased. It's going to be a fun month. There's a lot going on. And if you like underground or more mainstream, there's something for you.
Now, Susan, how can listeners learn more about the Kuchar Brothers Festival at the Clinton Street and purchase tickets if they like? I know you offer both a festival pass and tickets to individual screenings.
Yeah, I believe there's a handful of festival passes left. They cover the whole week for $35. And then each ticket, usually for a double feature on 16mm, is $10. And you can get them online at clintonstreettheater.com.
Well, Susan, thanks so much for taking time out to join us at KABU. I look forward to the festival next week.
Thanks, Ken.
We've been talking with Susan Tomorrow, Clinton Street Theater programmer and co-owner, about the Kuchar Brothers Film Festival, which runs from Monday, December 4th through Saturday, December 9th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton, in Portland. You can find out more and purchase a festival pass or tickets to individual showings on their website, cstpdx.com. This is Ken Jones for KABU's News in Depth.